Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking about Syracuse's second straight loss to Colgate and about a local football product committing to the Orange. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Brett Gustin, and our guest today is The Juice Online senior college basketball analyst and 2003 national champion, Andrew Cowie. Andrew, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. It's great to talk to you, and it's great for College Hoops to begin.
Andrew, it's definitely great that College Hoops has started, but then again, it's been a bumpy start for our Orange. We'll get you started on this one. They lost to Colgate 80-68 on Tuesday night, with the Orange going into half down 14 points. Andrew, you played at Syracuse for four seasons under Jim Boeheim. What's that halftime locker room like when they're losing like this? Is it what we think it is, with a lot of screaming, or does it use a different tack?
You know, sometimes it's a good scream fest. There's no doubt about that. You know, it a little bit just depends on the time of the year. And there's just a lot of factors in terms of, you know, if he goes, you know, if he's going to just go and scream a lot, or is it more of a calm, cool, and collective halftime speech. I'm guessing, given the halftime and early in the season, that it probably wasn't a calm, cool, and collective halftime speech. I doubt he probably didn't like call anyone out or pinpointing at certain players, because it's early in the season, and I think it was probably more about just intensity and effort and desire and kind of I would guess more on that theme in terms of, you know, getting out on shooters and just attacking and just playing with more aggressiveness. Because I think that's probably, you know, where, you know, his competitiveness and, you know, we should be able to, almost with our athleticism and just skill level, sometimes if you're lacking in the desire and intensity, you know, that can show up and give Colgate a kind of comfortability. And when a team like Colgate, who's very high basketball IQ, great shooters, the more they get comfortable in terms of where to go with the ball, movement, and shooting, and getting shots that they feel comfortable with, you know, the better they're going to play and the more shots they're going to knock down. And you saw that throughout the whole game.
Andrew, Colgate hit 19 of 38 three-pointers. Many of them were very clean looks. What were you seeing there in defense, and why was Colgate able to shoot this well?
Well, first off, you have to give Colgate a lot of credit. I mean, if you're watching that game and you're seeing some of the movements in terms of them kind of moving throughout the offense against the zone, I mean, it was a clinic, really, in terms of just high basketball IQ and moving to the right spots. So first and foremost, I think you have to give them credit. And then secondly, at the end of the day, you know, Syracuse is still fairly young, other than Edwards and Joe Girardi, in terms of just from a defensive side, especially when it comes to zone and just learning, you know, how the zone works and how active you have to be, that it's not just like a zone when you played in high school. You really have to be moving hands up and reading and reacting and anticipating. And sometimes when you're playing against a team kind of like Colgate with a high basketball IQ and a lot of shooters like that, it can become difficult if the defense isn't kind of ready yet or in true form. And, you know, and then also goes with, you know, player personnel. You know, with Joe, right, with Joe, you know, you could say that maybe he's not the best defensive player because he's so good on offense. So, you know, you have to pair that up with someone who's really good defensively as a matchup on the top of the key. Well, you know, Judah, you know, has a great activity and great intensity, but also he's still learning the zone, like learning like the position and plays like that. So I think it's just getting, you know, the kinks out of the, you know, out of the system and learning, and it's just going to take some time. And when you give Colgate that kind of comfortable feel, you know, shooters are going to, when the shooters feel comfortable, you know, that's a recipe for disaster.
Andrew, as bad as the defense was, Jim Boeheim mentioned after the game that the offense was even worse. What was the biggest thing you were seeing, and why wasn't Syracuse moving the ball well?
Yeah, I think it goes back a little bit to just some of the new players and just really getting comfortable in terms of how everyone plays and just kind of that, you know, that collective team that's just understanding where players are going to be and the movement and who can take over at certain times and so forth. And unfortunately, that, as much as you practice and that obviously helps, but until you know, the game time experience and game experience is really the best type of practice. And so it's just going to take time because of we're just going to need the games for guys to get a better understanding in terms of, you know, how everyone plays. And, you know, I think we all, maybe when watching that game, you kind of look at it and say, maybe, you know, should we have, you know, got the ball to Jesse a little bit more, you know, because of his kind of height advantage and scoring advantage against a team like Colgate. You know, you can always nitpick little things like that. And because you kind of know what you're going to get out of Jesse and Joe Girard. And I think we all look to like someone like a Benny and Williams in terms of, okay, where is he going to go this year? I think we saw some great glimpses. You know, if you would have told me he would have 17 points and 8 rebounds before the game, I would assume like Syracuse would win no problem. Right. But, you know, I think Boeheim's still kind of figuring out who's going to be that other forward that complements those three. I think we know everything about Judah in terms of what he could bring to the team. So it's still just a kind of a figuring out process. But, you know, I would let fans know that, you know, look at North Carolina. They're the number one team in the country. They got Babcock and Love coming back. And, you know, against Charleston, they're down at halftime. Last night against Gardner-Webb, I mean, it was a close game the whole game. So it's early days. There's a lot of figuring things out. And when you have a lot of new players, they got to figure out how they kind of work with some of the veteran players. So it's a process.
And Andrew, we'll get you out of here on this one. Put your coaching hat on here. What does Syracuse need to do after a tough loss like this to tap into their potential and try to put together a good NCAA tournament resume?
I think it's continuing to, again, you know what you're going to get out of the four players in terms of Girard, Judah, Edwards, and Benny, right? Like, that's why they're going to be playing 35-plus minutes every game. So I think it's still, I think the more confidence that Benny Williams gets in terms of, you know, in terms of getting offensive rebounds and easy putbacks, early confidence, right, really can expand his overall game in terms of mid-range jumpers, three-pointers, right, and just being active both on the offensive, defensive end. So getting that kind of early confidence with him, I think probably want to get Jesse a little bit more involved early in a game, like, you know, so he can, he's a Dutchman. I'm half Dutch, right? We're kind of calm, cool, collective people. So an early push. An early push and get him that kind of that aggressiveness that we know we've seen come out in games and really can dominate. So again, getting those two early involved early, and then I think it's just as the season goes on, these next kind of, you know, 4 to 6, 6 to 8 games, you know, who's going to emerge from a that gives Boeheim confidence level for that, you know, that fifth guy, who is it, an extra forward, is it another guard? I think that's where Boeheim's going to be looking at, like, who can I trust for that kind of fifth player?
Andrew, thanks so much for coming back on the program. Again, the Juice Online senior college basketball analyst and 2003 national champion, Andrew Cowie. Andrew, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the start of the college basketball season. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Wes.
Always love chatting with Andrew, and I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online senior reporter and my very good friend, Brett Gustin. Brett, how are you today?
Good, Wes. How's it going? Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, Brett, doing well. And Syracuse lost to Colgate on Tuesday, 80-68. You were there covering the game from Press Row. What were your general observations from this game?
Well, yeah, I think obviously the biggest thing that stands out when you look at least at the box scores, Colgate shot the lights out, you know, 19 for 38 from three at 50%. But that's really not an excuse, in my opinion, for the effort on defense for Syracuse. I didn't feel like they had any intensity or they didn't have any adjustments on Tucker Richardson, who was consistently hitting threes, finished with 27 points. And post-game, Benny Williams, he talked about the communication on defense being the key to success, and you just don't see it, whether it's man-to-man or they started in man, but then they switched to zone defense. And no matter what they did, there's really no intensity there. They're not talking well, and they're just not getting consistent stops. And you can see it with the amount of wide-open shots Colgate was taking. And it makes you wonder. Colgate is just, you know, the first team to make Cuse pay for these lack of rotations on defense, and there's going to be a lot of better teams that they play coming up, so it makes you concerned for their future matchups for sure.
Brett, you got to chat with a lot of the players in the locker room after the loss. What was the vibe like after the game?
Yeah, I think as far as the locker room goes, I think there was, you know, that level of shock losing this second game of the year to Colgate, but I really do think there's more disappointment than shock. You know, a lot of these guys, Joe and Jesse and Saimir and Benny, this is back-to-back years now of being on Syracuse and losing against Colgate at home. And you don't want this to become a reality, but the bottom line is Colgate has built their program for this no longer to be really considered an upset. And I think that aspect makes it more of a disappointment. And this is not a one-time thing last year. And Boeheim postgame said that Colgate's simply better than us at this point right now in the season. Well, in my opinion, for that to happen, for them right now to be the better team at this point in the season, I think that's just disappointment. So really, more disappointment than shock.
And Brett, we're right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts.
Yeah, the bottom line is, and as far as just looking at this season, in the opener, you know, they obviously used their big man, Jesse Edwards, a lot more. And then against Colgate, he only took six shots. Not a lot of the offense was surrounded by Edwards. And look, when you have a core of guards that really are not known for their shooting, you can't have your big man only take six shots and then shoot 8 for 25 from three. It's just not efficient, and it's going to result in the offense that they had. I think the main concern is really, when does this change? You know, who is going to come out as their shooter? Gerard has kind of looked off, and Saimir took some threes, and then Boeheim told him it's not his game at halftime. He said that in the presser. And so he's obviously not a primary shooter, and Mintz isn't really a perimeter shooter. So really the question is, where does this change? If I think they have to obviously utilize Edwards more in the paint, but as far as their shooting struggles go, it's not something they're just going to fix overnight. So I think that that's going to be a problem all season. I think they honestly have to figure out a much better way to communicate not only on defense but on the offensive end to get the right shots.
Brett, my closing thoughts are on Syer Torrence, the brother of Syracuse basketball guard Samir Torrence. Syer plays football at nearby Christian Brothers Academy in Syracuse, your old stomping grounds, Brett. And the 2024 wide receiver committed to the Orange on Wednesday afternoon over an offer from Buffalo. This is Syracuse's earliest commitment in over 10 years, and just a great get for the Orange to get a top prospect to stay at home. Congratulations to Syer on taking the next step in his football career. That's it for us. For Brett Gustin, this is Wes Chang reminding you that I don't like thank you cards because I don't know what else to say. What do I put on the inside? See front. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cuse podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.